Welcome to this episode of Creative License, inside the worlds of rising artists. I'm Lena Adams, and in this podcast, I'll be exploring some burning questions about the creative process with my friends across different artistic disciplines, unpacking the wonders and the challenges of being a full-time artist in the modern world. Just a reminder that you can follow me on Twitter at Creative License, and you can DM me with any requests for guests or with any general feedback or support. Equally, you can message me and follow me on Instagram at Creative License Podcast. Without further ado, let's unpack. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second ever episode of Creative License Inside the World of Rising Artists. I'm Lena, and I'm really excited to say that today we are joined by Claudia Kate. Claudia Kate is a South London-based singer and songwriter. She's an indie pop artist whose DIY sound is imbued with elements of spoken word, reminiscent of Baby Queen, as well as Brit-nominated artist Self Esteem. Claudia is passionate about helping people feel good about themselves and about creating a community surrounding female empowerment through her music. Claudia has been consistently supported by BBC Introducing throughout her career and recently made her Radio 1 debut with her single Fizzy. She just released her latest single, Good God, which is now available to listen to on all major streaming platforms. And I recommend it because it's a banger. Hey, Claudia, how are you?
Hi, Lena. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. A bit sleepy, but good. I'm very excited to get cracking.
Me too. I feel you. I'm a bit hungover, but we move.
Hopefully this will wake you up a little bit.
Definitely.
Just a good chat. Just a fun chat.
Yes.
So, Claudia, the other week you played your debut headline gig at the Camden Assembly. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was that experience like?
So, it was great. It was amazing.
Congrats,
it was probably the best nights of my life. Thank you. Yeah, I just felt like it was time for a headline. I feel like you know when you're there, like you know when you're ready. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my friend Leah G, she's great. I actually met her on the internet in 2020.
Isn't it friends are the best?
They are the best. I feel like in music as well, like, it's so important to network on the internet now. So yeah, I met her and I was just saying to her how I was really struggling to get booked for gigs, like without any, like getting your first headline so hard, because how do you prove that you're ready for a headline when you've not played one before? So I was emailing venues and just getting aired or told like that's not a thing. But she had a contact at Camden Assembly and he literally straight away was like, here are the dates, you can book it. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, I can actually book one. So yeah, a Tuesday night in January, we got 100 people down and it actually went, I wouldn't change like a single thing. It went completely as I'd want to. My band were amazing. And yeah, I think it was a good success, I'd say.
Amazing. So proud. Yeah. Congrats again.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And you actually played the Camden Assembly, I think it was November of 2021, wasn't it? You supported Ellie Dixon.
Yes.
Shout out to Ellie.
Yeah, she's fucking sick.
So what was it like kind of coming back as a headliner?
Yeah, it was cool. I think actually when I did support Ellie, I said to myself, like, right, next year, I mean, it ended up being just into 2023. But I was like, right, next year I'm going to headline the same place. And that was like the goal I set myself. So to actually, and it was kind of by accident, it ended up at the same venue, but to actually end up doing the headline there with my full band, because when I supported Ellie, I was like backing tracks. Yeah, it was really cool to be like, oh, I'm on the same stage. But yeah. It's my show. It was really cool. And Ellie came up on stage with me and we sang Brainworks, which is my song that she raps. Raps is probably a loose term for what she does on it. But yeah, she performed it with me, which was so sweet. That was really fun.
That's super cool. Yeah, because I remember seeing you support Ellie at the gig that you did where you supported her.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess, I remember seeing you, like, you didn't have your band. So I guess the next time you play and I get to see you, it'll be really cool to kind of see how that sound kind of transfers live.
Definitely sounds better. Like everyone says, it just sounds like how the songs are meant to sound, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so much more fun performing with a band.
It is. You do feel like a rock star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, so, yeah, you're in a couple bands, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. This isn't about me.
Well, it is a little bit about you. You just feel like, and it's so slick when you're well rehearsed. Like, I didn't even notice they were there. Like, not in a mean way, but they were just doing it. It was like, this is why Florence calls it the machine. It was like a machine.
Yeah.
It was just going. And then it was all over and I was really sad. But it does go quick when you're up there. It's like, oh.
It goes so quickly. Because you look forward to it the entire day or just for months even. And then you actually get to it and you think, oh yeah, this is the moment I've been waiting for. And then because of that built up anticipation and excitement, it just is over as soon as it starts. That's how it feels.
So sad. But, it's like a book. Yeah. And then when you're an indie artist, you've got to tidy it all up yourself. That's the annoying part. Like, I wanted to go chat to everyone. But then security was like kicking everyone out. And then they were like, you need to get all your stuff out. So they obviously were packing down. Like, so it's definitely not glamorous, but it feels very raw. And like, oh, we're doing it all ourselves. It's quite cool.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that. What's it like being an independent artist and having to do all the organisational tidbits yourself?
It's very like fulfilling, I'd say. And I'm very lucky, like my partner, Al, he's in my band and he helps a lot. So I had him to like help, you know, set up everything. And because I'm not wired that way, like I don't understand live sound. I'm not great at setting up my own equipment or even tuning my guitar, you know, like he'll do it 10 times quicker than me. So it's so good I have someone, and I have my band are lovely and that they're so supportive and they were just so helpful with that. So I didn't have to worry about it, which was amazing. And my parents are supportive. Like, my dad drove to London and he was on the merch table with my mom and my aunt, which was really funny, until they were too drunk at the end of the night and no one was getting the merch that they wanted. So I'm really lucky. Like, I have so many people around me that are helping. Like, Ellie was helping. She was upstairs in the dressing room, like, sending me out. So yeah, like, obviously it's hard because you're learning as you go, but I had so many people helping, so it was all right. The only thing I regret is I didn't take a minute on my own before I went on stage, but
yeah,
next time. I did warm up my voice. That was a bit of a silly move, but
it's funny because you think of all these little bits of preparation that you have to do yourself, but then when it actually comes down to it, you're so like, the adrenaline is just absolutely rushing through you and you forget all of those things that you wanted to prep for.
Literally, I think I was caught up as well watching Leah, and then it was like she was on her last song. I was like, fuck, I'm playing next, like I need to go get ready. Stood there in like a hoodie, like I need to go look good for this, like I need to go get ready. That was funny. Yeah, it was good, really good. Yeah,
but having your family man the merch table, that's a power move. I think that's like, yeah, this is a community-based thing.
Yeah, it was really sweet, and it was actually so nice that I could just leave them, like I didn't have to worry about the merch, because we ended up making a good £300 off it, which is amazing.
Amazing.
So it was good that I could just leave them there and I didn't worry about it all night. It was really good. And I had some friends that I've made since moving to London as well that were like doing photography and videography, and it's just so nice having people you can rely on that I'm like, right, you do this, and they just, I didn't have to worry, everyone was just doing their job and not asking much in return. It was just really sweet. I felt very loved.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear. It's so nice having, because obviously we'll talk a little bit about that later, a bit more in detail, because you're not originally from London. You moved to London to continue pursuing music, right? Because you're originally from Cambridge.
Yeah.
You recently released your latest single, Good God. Congrats on the release.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the creative process behind that, what the inspiration was and kind of how it came to be?
So I've always had, I think this whole, so I've got an EP coming out called Going Places. I think the whole EP is kind of about growing up. All my songs are about the same kind of, I'm in my 20s and but definitely growing up, like kind of through COVID, coming out of COVID, moving to London. And I feel like I never had that processing time after uni. And then you kind of have uni and then you kind of have this weird gap where you're trying to work out what you want to do. I feel like because of COVID, I never processed any, I just didn't process any of this feeling of like, oh my God, I'm becoming like an adult. So I had a really weird pensive time in 2021 of just like, what, who am I? What's going on? And good God was just about how whenever I go back to my hometown, which is like really rare, I just feel so weird. Like I was a teenager here and I'm an adult and where do I fit? And it's just, and it just made me feel really weird. And then I just got very reflective on like my first love and all this and everything that reminds me of my hometown. And I'm so far from that now. So yeah, good God is just a real like, ah, who am I?
Yeah.
What's going on? And I just miss my teenage self, but also like she was an absolute disaster. So and it's just the lyric, I'm tired of falling in love, is just like, I want to be my own woman. And I am my own woman.
That's absolutely. Kind of,
that was such a long way of saying what it's about. But I think with my songs, I can't ever pinpoint exactly what it is because they will just be like everything in my brain at once.
Yeah.
But it's nice. People can interpret my songs how they want.
Yeah. And that's such a nice thing to have, I guess. It makes things more personal, I suppose, when people listen to the songs, they can like ascribe their own meaning to it. But it's so nice hearing about kind of what it means to you and like the inspirations behind it, because obviously it's such a weird time, your early 20s.
Yeah.
And I definitely relate to that kind of period of coming out of uni and having that weird break of, oh, like I'm out of education, what do I do now? No one's holding my hand anymore, not being spoon-fed.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. But so yeah, tell me a little bit about what it was like kind of moving from your hometown, from wherever you were in Cambridge, to, you know, the big city.
I think I always wanted to move. And I think as a musician, you're kind of even told you need to move, because even though Cambridge is amazing for music, I mean, we've had like Cave Town come out of it, like Tommy and Peary, like we've had Ellie, like we've had people doing really well that are like on major labels. And the scene there is great. I've always been treated really well. So I think this idea that I had to move was probably mainly coming from my own head. But I wanted to anyway, and it was 2020 I actually moved, which is a bit mad now looking back. I just didn't want to wait anymore. I'd had lockdown at my parents' house, graduated the year before, and I was just like, if I don't move now, I feel like it's going to get harder and harder. So it was August, and I started like sofa surfing, starting a new job, and then moved in with my cousin who works in music PR. So she was kind of the perfect person to move in with. And then spent that whole year in that flat just like in lockdown. But it was good because I wrote loads of music. So I wrote like Baby Blue, and I started some of the ones on my EP now. So yeah, and then just it's all a blur from there, really. Just working in hospitality and then just trying to get better and better at music, really.
Yeah. So you're currently based...
South.
Yeah, yeah. South London, yeah.
Rep. Whereabouts do you live?
I'm not going to disclose my location, actually. I see what you're doing.
Exact address.
My exact address. All right, we'll take a pause. No, I'm joking. but yeah, so South London, I guess, very different from where you were in Cambridge, I imagine. Cambridge is quite small. I've been there a few times. But
yeah, especially because my town... Well, I live in a village, and then I went to school in a town, and then the nearest city is Cambridge. So it's quite a loose term.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, technically yeah. I'm like a village girl. You had to drive everywhere. Cottage ceilings were like this high kind of thing. And now my ceilings are like, you know, can't even touch them, stand on a chair. So, but no, I love South London. I mainly moved here for my partner because he lives in Surrey and he likes his job. And I didn't want to be like, you're moving for me. So I moved closer to be with him because he produces all my music. And then I just loved it around here, made lots of friends. And it's just nice. It's got a really good mix of quiet, lots of parks, but then you can get to Central in like 10 minutes. So yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, it truly is perfect in that regard. Like, you don't really need a car when you're in London because of the great transport links. But that also means that there's less, maybe that's a good thing, less incentive to drive. But
yeah, I don't enjoy driving, really. I'm a very, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Uptight. No, I really don't. Yeah, I'm all right at it. I've only crashed, like, once.
Oh.
Good to hear. And I like, if I'm on public transport, I want to be, like, listening to music, looking out the window. I don't want to be, like, concentrating.
Yeah, you want to be the main character.
Yeah, I want to feel like the main character at all times, so...
Cool. So, yeah, living, I guess, with Al, your producer and your partner, what does a recording process look like, or a production process look like? Like, for example, let's take Good God, what that kind of looks like from the process of writing to production. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. We've kind of fallen into a really good rhythm. So I usually will write the song. Normally I'm very much write it in order, verse, chorus, verse, and I'll just sit and write the song. And I'm quite a quick writer, so if I feel something or come up with a concept, it's usually written within like an hour. And then when we weren't living together, I would send it to him and then he'd start working on it independently and start adding like electric guitar and drums, and he does it all the drums and MIDI. And then I would go over and then add all the vocals and put some ideas in there. But now we live together, obviously, it's way easier. So I'll literally just be like, right, I've written this. I'll start recording a demo and then he'll just build on top of it. So with Good God, I think we weren't living together. So it was really long. It took ages to make. But then it kind of adds more creativity because you'll leave it for like a month, come back and be like, oh, now I've got a new idea for a guitar or... And he always helps me write the middle eights because I'm not the most creative when it comes to like chords. So he'll come up with like a wacky chord change for middle eight, which is great. Yeah, with Big Talk Little Girl, it was like, I've written a song. It's blown up on TikTok. We need to make it right now. So it was a very intense like 4 days of like, if I even saw him like on his phone for 5 minutes, I'd be like, why aren't you doing long? And it would just be like us sitting there like, this needs to get done. To his credit, he got it done like ridiculously quick. Yeah, very talented, kind of annoying. Yeah, it works well. No arguments yet, so.
Yeah, but I guess you bounce off each other. Like, sounds like a super collaborative process. You kind of bring the words and then the chords as well. And then he like has his input. And then you kind of like obviously do everything together, which is... It's so much fun doing that with somebody as well and being able to share that.
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's great for the live set as well because it came to like writing all the parts because I'd never had a band before. And he obviously, because he produced it, he knew them all already and he was teaching like the bassist, teaching the drummer. And again, it meant that I didn't have to worry. Obviously, I want to learn more, but it meant I didn't have to sit and worry and stretch my brain too much about things that I don't get, which was really nice. It's great, it's really good. I'm gonna be working with some other people soon, so I'm a bit like nervous. I'm like, what's it like to work with another producer? But I think it'll be good for me, and he's got some like new artists off the back of my songs, which is really exciting. So it'll be nice to like do things without each other and then see what we learn and then come back. I think it'll be nice.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's super interesting because I guess working with newer producers who don't know as much about your creative process, you kind of have to be able to put things into words to be able to say what kind of sound you're looking for. But then I feel like good producers also have that instinct, like producer's instinct.
And if you click with someone as well, they'll know what you mean without, you know, I mean, I'll describe something like, oh, this needs like a drum that's like, he'll be like, right, I know what you mean. And I'm like, am I gonna look crazy going to someone and being like this? But I think everyone's a bit weird in music, aren't they? And I think we're all, even if we're wired different, we can understand, you can get someone's vibe and what they're looking for pretty well. So I'm excited.
That's very true. We don't fit in. We don't want to fit in.
No.
Amazing. So am I right in assuming you currently have like a part-time job in hospitality or retail at the moment?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just going to ask, what's it kind of like balancing that with music? Is it ever kind of difficult to balance the two?
So it was a lot harder before I was working. So I moved to London and I got the only job that I could get, basically. There was just no, because it was still locked down, cafes and restaurants weren't open. So I got a job at a cafe, like a small kind of startup business. And then I just ended up, they just loved me. I mean, can I say? They just loved me. And I just got promoted like 4 times. I did up as an area manager by last year, which was really cool. Like I made so many friends. I know. I learned so much. It definitely helped my confidence, my maturity. Like I grew up a lot. Helped my anxiety. Like it helped so many things. But it did get to a point where I was like, right, this is now a full-time job and my music is just not even a thing. So I quit that at Christmas. I promised myself I would quit by the end of the year, and it got to the end of the year and I was like, right, time. And now I'm at a pub and it's a lot easier because I'm definitely an evening person. And I was getting up at 5 a.m. for the last 2 years and it just wasn't me. Yeah, it was too much. Too much. So yeah, and it's really nice. It's part-time to full-time kind of thing, and I'm finding it a lot easier and I'm used to it. So I think actually if I did music full-time, I almost wouldn't know what to do with myself. Like I'd really have to get good at scheduling myself and organizing what I'm spending my time on and where my money's coming in, and I don't think I'm quite there yet. I think I would find it so stressful being my own boss. It's obviously where I want to get to, but I think for now, I just would be even more stressed. I like having a bit of structure and knowing I've got money coming in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all good. I think I'm at a good place with it now, yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. I definitely relate to not being a morning person, but my definition of morning is waking up at like 9.
That's me now.
5 a.m. is just, I just would not be able to function.
It's like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's not right. I'd be getting up in the dark. Yeah, it was awful. It was really bad. And where I worked was outside. Yeah, it wasn't nice. And it was like a kiosk outside. So you were freezing.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, for the time, it was amazing. And I had the best friends. But then, you know, people start moving on in hospitality. You get to a point where you're like, right, time to move. And now I get to go and get free coffee on my days off. So it's great. Yeah.
It's a good payoff. Yeah, absolutely.
I actually think I'm the last out of all my friends from uni. And all my friends, I think I'm one of the last ones still with a job though. I think a lot of them are doing amazing. Like they're all kind of there now, like have a job in music or are full-time musicians, which is really cool. So it gives me hope that I'm next. I'm in line.
Yeah.
So it's great that everyone's doing really well. Like it's very, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Everyone's going in the right direction. It's cool.
That's amazing. So I suppose at the time where you were area manager at your previous cafe, that must have been, what was it like kind of having the weight of that responsibility and then knowing, oh yeah, music is the thing I want to do. I imagine that was quite a heavy mental health burden at times. Am I right in saying that?
I definitely hit burnout and I hit a real, you just feel like you're doing yourself a disservice kind of thing. But I also felt guilty because I was getting paid a good salary by this company that I'd worked for a long time and they trusted me. And I was doing the job, but there were days I was like, I don't care. And then you feel bad because you're like, someone else could really want this job. And there are people that want to be in hospitality and they want that to be their career. And I was like, I'm kind of taking this job away from someone that really wants it. Even though I did enjoy it day to day. And yeah, it would be like, I actually wrote Big Talk Little Girl kind of off the back of those feelings. So it did me really well. But then when that song started blowing up, I didn't even have the time to like, I think I could have taken that opportunity and made it bigger. And I didn't have the time to, because this was like kind of the peak of how bad my job got. So stuff like that. I mean, it was just hard to balance. And then There was a moment I sprained my ankle quite badly. I tore like 3 ligaments and I was still having to go into work because they wouldn't let me have a day off. And I remember just crying all the time. And I was like, right, I need to go. Like, and that's normal in hospitality. Like, you're sick, you have to come in. Like, I think I got a couple of days off. But when you're the boss and you have to organise the cover, it's a lot harder. And so I just was like, right, this is the end. And I've stayed in touch with the people I really love from that job. So, and they all came to my gig. It was really sweet. So I'm glad I worked there. So I think I left at the right time. Yeah. Yeah.
Big up to you for managing going into work on a sprained ankle.
It was hilarious. It was so funny.
Yeah. But I suppose.
My crutches.
But I suppose it's kind of sad thinking that a lot of people have probably had to do that in retail. Just like, I don't know, coming out of operations and then having to go into work, or just really sick and having to do shifts. It's just not on.
Yeah. I think it is. It's probably only what, like, office jobs where you can get away with having time off. I don't even know if it's just this country and the expectations of, like, you go in sick. It is crazy. Like, I think until COVID it was quite normal, and now when I have a cold I'm like, right, I'm not coming, because everyone's gonna get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad, but we're out now.
We're out.
And I'm
or
looking
are we?
After my ankles.
That's good.
Where are we?
No trampolines for you?
Yeah. No. I've thrown my trampoline away.
Oh, wow. That's a statement if I've ever heard one.
No, it's actually netball, but I play netball in the right shoes now. So.
Wow.
When I go, yeah.
Character development.
Yeah, I've changed and grown.
Thank you for listening to part one of our interview with Claudia Kate. You can click through to listen to the second half. Also, Claudia's EP Going Places comes out on the 17th of Feb, but by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already out by now. So go give it a listen and make sure you give Claudia a follow on Instagram @Claudia_Kate. Thanks for listening.